This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. Coming up, a dispute over who wrote a classic pop song that may go all the way back to Bach. First, a dispute over coffee. The Ethiopian government, along with several advocacy groups, has called for changes in the global coffee market. They want poor coffee growers to be paid more money. Starbucks doesn't agree, saying the Ethiopian plan is naive and will hurt farmers. NPR's Adam Davidson reports.
There's one thing, maybe only one thing, that everyone involved agrees on. Ethiopian coffee is among the best in the world. Coffee was first domesticated in Ethiopia thousands of years ago, and beans there have a distinct smell and taste. There's just about no agreement on anything else. Take the fundamental issue. Are Ethiopia coffee farmers in desperate straits? The man in charge of buying coffee for Starbucks, Dub Hay, says no. Starbucks has made sure they're happy.
We need them to stay in business. We can't sell high-quality coffee that doesn't exist.
And you feel if I went and visited the Ethiopian coffee farmer, they'd say Starbucks doesn't need to change anything.
I have no doubt. None at all. In fact, it is the farmers who love us most.
Hay points out that Starbucks has donated about $200,000 in aid to Ethiopian farmers over the past few years. He says the market price for Ethiopian coffee is about right. Getachew Mungstay says he's wrong.
The Ethiopian coffee farmer, I would say, he is leading a miserable life. He may have no penny to buy food.
Mungstay is the Ethiopian government official in charge of a new project to improve the lives of Ethiopia's 15 million coffee workers. He says they and their families are hungry much of the year. They can't send their kids to school or buy shoes. Now, it's hard to argue that their poverty is Starbucks' fault. Mungstay acknowledges that Ethiopia has a famously corrupt and incompetent government. It's still recovering from a brutal civil war. Starbucks and other coffee buyers are doing what every company does, buying a product at whatever price the market determines. And that is what Mungstay wants to change. He wants to transform the coffee marketplace to increase prices, at least for Ethiopian beans. He got the idea from Ron Layton, who founded Lightyears IP, an activist group.
When Ron brought this idea and we discussed it, I said this is a brilliant idea which would really make an impact in changing the lives of millions of impoverished Ethiopian farmers.
Layton's idea is this. Ethiopian coffees are worth a lot in rich countries. They sell for $10, $15, even $25 a pound. But wholesale coffee is sold in Ethiopia at low commodity prices, around a buck and a quarter on average. Layton and Mungstay decided that Ethiopia needs to find a way to capture their coffee's intangible value, that brand identity that makes a can of Coke worth a lot more than a can of RC Cola. Ron Layton says they decided to start with Ethiopia's best coffee, Yirgacheffe.
Why is all of the benefits of the intangible value of Yirgacheffe disappearing to the foreigners?
Ethiopia recently trademarked the name Yirgacheffe, so now no coffee retailer can legally mention that they are selling Yirgacheffe without a license from the Ethiopian government. That license carries some responsibilities. They have to promote the coffee. One day, the license might require retailers to pay more for the bean. This is a radical change. No other coffee region name is trademarked. No country tries to control the retail sale of its raw product. Robert Nelson, who runs the industry group, the National Coffee Association, says the idea is nuts.
Trademarking will hurt the Ethiopian coffee farmer because it will reduce the value of the coffee. It will reduce the demand for the coffee.
Nelson says retailers will just avoid Yirgacheffe. They can just as easily buy coffees from Kenya or Yemen or somewhere else. In fact, they can buy Ethiopia's other great coffees, Sidamo and Harar, without any sort of license. Ethiopia tried to trademark those names, but Nelson's group blocked the trademark request.
And I should point out the consumer recognizes the region Harar, and they recognize the region Sidamo, because U.S. roasters actually used those words and educated the public and created value in those words.
Ethiopia says it's trying to shift the balance of power just a little bit from corporate America to the world's poor. If it works with coffee, they say, then they'll use the trademark model to increase prices on lots of other commodities. Adam Davidson, NPR News.